Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas to you from everyone here at North Coast, from my family. Great to see you here this morning. Now, the things that we know about the very first Christmas come from the Bible, come from those first eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start by reading a section from Matthew's account of Jesus' life. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about that on this Christmas morning. So here we are, Matthew chapter 1, from verse 17 here. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This was how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Well, what if your name told you everything about your life? If the meaning of your name laid out everything that you would do, everything that you would be, all the things to come in your life, what if your name told you that in advance? Like, for example, what if your name was Sarah Taylor? Right? The name Taylor, that comes from the job, being a tailor. And so someone like Taylor Swift, she'd be someone who makes clothes fast, right? But Taylor is a fashion designer, and the name Sarah, does anyone name Sarah? The name Sarah means princess, so you would be a princess fashion designer, and I think that wouldn't that be an excellent way to kind of lay out the rest of your life, to be a princess fashion designer if your name was Sarah Taylor. What if your name was Avery Williams? I think this would be a very exciting name if this told you about your life. Williams means brave protector. So even Dan Willis, our guitarist, you know, he's our brave protector. That's pretty good. And if your name's William, Will, you're a brave protector. And Avery means ruler of the elves. And I think those two in combination is actually, that'd be fantastic if that was your whole life laid out in front of you. What if your name was Calvin Kennedy? Well, Calvin means bald. And unfortunately, Kennedy means misshapen head. So that, I feel like that would be a bad combo. Although that does accurately describe most babies. So it would kind of lay out your life ahead of you. Well, what is your name? What does your name mean? Kids, on your way in, you might have grabbed a kid's booklet. In there, there's a space to write your name, and then under that, write what your name means. If you don't know, now's a chance to ask Mum and Dad, "What is my name, Reem?" Write that down. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. If you don't have a kid's booklet, there's more in the entranceway there. You can get up now and go grab one. There's colouring in as well for the kids. And for the grown-ups, this is your chance. Just say hi to someone nearby. Maybe introduce yourself. Tell someone nearby what your name means. If you meet someone called Calvin Kennedy, I don't know, change the subject, talk about something different. I'll give you a couple of minutes now, and then I'll call you back. Okay, hopefully you've met someone new, found out what your name means, found out what someone else's name means. What if your name told you everything about what was going to happen in your life? Here's my name. Jeffrey means pledge of peace. So I think actually I'd be quite a confused name to go through life with. But in our Bible reading today, we heard the story of how Jesus got his name. He was one person whose name does explain everything about him, who he was, the most important things about who he was and what he was going to do. He's got a job name, a first name, and a nickname. In this passage, we see a job name, a first name, and a nickname. And we're going to find out what all those names mean. So the first thing that we find out about Jesus from this reading is that he has a job name. We don't find out what his name means, but what his job is going to be. It's there in verse 18. Here's what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. Now, if you've got a name like Taylor or even Hunt, right, your family probably got that name from a job that one of your ancestors, your great-great-great-great-grandparents used to do. And it seems to be common in some cultures that you kind of get your surname from your occupation. And so names like Archer, Baker, Brewer, Butcher, Carter, Clark, Cooper, Dyer, Farmer, Fisher, Glover, Mason, Page, Potter, Sawyer, Slater, Smith, Thatcher, Turner, Weaver, Woodman, Wright, they are all job names, all names that come from jobs. And so Jesus has a job name as well. His job name is Messiah, and it means God's King. Messiah is just the same word as Christ. It's not his surname. It's a job name that means God's chosen King. Now, when we think about kings and what their job is, we normally think of something ceremonial, right? Ribbon cutting and opening hospitals and those kind of things. But in the ancient world, the job of the king was to be the protector, the ultimate authority over everything, to establish justice and peace and to bring order. And that sounds like a good job, doesn't it, to be the ultimate authority. Unless, of course, there's a war, or unless there are evil people doing evil things, unless there is a pandemic, say, then actually to be the one in charge is a difficult job, to put all those things in order. And so I've got a plastic bag here, a big black plastic bag. And in here, I've put a few things to help us remember the names of Jesus and what they mean. So let's look at what the first item in my big black plastic bag is. And it is another big black plastic bag. Do you know that feeling when your house descends into chaos and there is junk everywhere and you just get this feeling like, I just want to chuck everything out. I want to run through the house and I want to clean up and I want to throw it all in a big black plastic bag and I want to throw it in the bin. In our family, we call this big black plastic bag energy. And when I get big black plastic bag energy, I just storm through the house and try and sort everything out. My kids don't love when I get big black plastic bag energy. I inevitably throw out something special. But especially at Christmas time, you know, there's stuff everywhere. There's wrapping, there's new toys, there's old toys, there's junk, there's the little trinkets from the Christmas crackers. And actually, it just kind of gets to me and I just want to clean it up. And in a way, that is Jesus' job. The job of the Messiah was to put things right, to get rid of the injustice and the brokenness, to sort out those problems that we see around us. Even for Mary and Joseph, They were living in a time of oppression under the military rule of the Romans, and they needed a king to come and establish peace and safety for his people. And as we look around our world, don't we need that as well? Do we not need a king to come and establish peace? To be a protector? To get rid of the evil and bring justice? Jesus' job name was Messiah, God's King, because he was going to put things right. Now, the next thing we find out about Jesus is his first name, and here's what it means, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves. It's a variant of Joshua, so if your name's Joshua, Josh, you have the same name as Jesus, and your name means God saves. And the angel tells Joseph, you have to give him this name because that's what he's going to do. He will be the one who brings God's salvation. His name tells us his mission. And so let's have a look in my bag. What have we got here? Yes, quite fitting. We have a life vest, perfect, because he will save his people. But the question is, you only need this. Like, this is kind of useless here, right? Because I'm not in danger. You only need saving if you're in danger somehow. And we're not in danger. We're in Perth. Perth feels like the safest city in the world, doesn't it? It feels like things go smoothly. It's been a bit hot. We had to get out of the water at the beach yesterday because there was a shark sighting. Apart from that, it feels very safe. What do we need saving from? Well, our passage tells us he will save his people from their sins. We don't need saving from something outside of ourselves, like the ocean. We need saving from something inside us, our sins. And see, that is the problem. That really is the problem. Because I want God's King to come along with the big black plastic bag energy and get rid of evil and injustice. I want him to put things right. But if the problem is in here, then I have to acknowledge that that cleanup will require him dealing with me. Am I willing to see the fact that God's King will bring justice upon me as well? I don't want to see myself as getting into the plastic bag. But Jesus means God saves. God's King has come, yes, but he has come not just to put things right, but to bring mercy, to bring forgiveness. His name means that he will save his people from their sins. And the last thing we find out is Jesus' nickname. Kids, if you have a nickname, you can write that down in your booklet as well. I've had lots of nicknames over the course of my life. I won't go through all of them here, but let's see what we've got in the bag. One more. Aha. All right. A Hawaiian shirt. Let me tell you the story of this nickname. So, back in my younger days, I'm not sure that this was ever in fashion. Maybe if you, like me, kind of grew up as a teenager in the 90s, you might have also gone through a Hawaiian shirt phase, but I certainly did. And one day I'm wearing a shirt like this. I think actually it was louder than this one, but kind of approximate to this. And I went to the footy with some friends. And I was a big fan of the Dockers back in the early days. This is the very beginning of the Dockers. And maybe on that occasion, I screamed a little bit too much. I will admit that I might have gone over the top at that particular game. Normally, I was a very mild-mannered young man, and I kind of enjoyed just letting that go a bit at the footy. And so at this particular game, one of my friends, while I was wearing this T-shirt, one of my friends called me Tropical Strength Jeff, just because of the kind of the extra energy that went into everything. Tropical Strength Jeff. And so that kind of stuck. I had that just with that group of friends, had that nickname for a while. I didn't get it all the time, but anytime I started getting excited about something, they'd be like, yeah, Tropical Strength Jeff, let's go. So I had that as my nickname. And it turns out that Jesus has a nickname as well. Not his real name, but a name, like Tropical Strength Jeff, a name that people are going to call him when they find out about him, when they realize who he is. It's there in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel. That's his nickname. He is God himself. The one who made the world, coming into the world to be part of the world. Coming and clothing himself with humanity. Becoming one of us. And more than just like me turning into Tropical Strength Jeff by putting on a Hawaiian shirt, more than that. But God himself completely taking on our humanity, becoming one of us in order to save us. And when you stop and think about it, that makes sense, doesn't it? That makes sense. Because we need a king to come and to put things right. But we have kings. You know, we have world leaders, we have the UN, we have global summits for all kinds of things, and that doesn't really seem to do the job. No, that's not enough. I'm glad that our world leaders are doing something about the problems of our world, but that doesn't do anything to touch the core problems of human evil and selfishness. And we need a king to come and deal with that. We need God himself to bring real justice. And when it comes to the problem of sin, of how we have lived, it is God who we have offended. And so we need God himself to come and to bring that salvation, that forgiveness. We need God himself to do it. And that is the good news of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us, God's King come to do the thing that we most need, to restore us back to God. I'm going to invite the band back up, and we're going to finish our time together by singing some more. And if you're someone here this morning who calls yourself a Christian, then I'd love for this song to be a celebration for you of these names of Jesus, everything that you know about Jesus, about who he is and what he's done. Let's sing and rejoice in response to Jesus. Jesus' job name was Messiah, God's King come to put things right. His first name means that he will save his people from their sins. And his nickname was Emmanuel, God with us, telling us that he has the power to do the thing that we most need, the Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel. But before I sit down, one more thing I want to point out. This account of Jesus' birth, all these names that Matthew, as he writes his gospel, he kind of puts there right at the start. This is just chapter 1. This is Matthew's introduction. This is him kind of setting the scene for us to say, here's what is going to come from this baby. Here's what he will do. Here's how he will put things right. And so as you read, you kind of anticipate Jesus doing all these things. We're right at the beginning of the story here. And so if you're someone who's here this morning, maybe you don't normally come to church, maybe it's your first time here at North Coast, we'd love to invite you back next week. We'd love to invite you back next week. Starting on New Year's Day, next Sunday, we're launching a new series looking at the person of Jesus. We're going to step through one of these biographies of Jesus' life and start at the beginning and then find out how we see these names of Jesus play out in his life. And maybe you're skeptical, maybe you have questions about Jesus. I think looking at those source documents, the things that people wrote down who met him, is an incredible way to work out if Jesus really is all these things that we celebrate at Christmas. We'd love you to come back and join us as we look at the life of Jesus in our series in Mark's Gospel. I'm going to hand back to the band and we'll sing.